Hello, and welcome to Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast. It's me, Landon. It's you, Lucas.
That's me.
We're your hosts. How's it going, everybody? We're back after a little week off because Lucas was in New York. How'd that go for you, buddy? We actually have not talked about that at all. We've been hanging out for what, like... since almost 3 hours now, we did not talk about it.
New York has not come up once.
Yeah, how was that?
Honestly, New York is probably the coolest city I've ever been to. But to be fair, I haven't been to a lot of big cities, so...
I'm going to say, in terms of big cities, it's the one I least want to go to.
It was. The public transport's amazing. I loved the people. And the food... food is so good and it's so cheap.
Really?
Yeah, you think how much do you usually spend here? Like Fort Wayne, Indiana, like I spend, I don't know, $10-$12 a meal, like sometimes.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like you'll get a decent amount of food. Mm-hmm. You spend that in New York, you're getting like 2 days of food probably. Like especially if you get from like a cart. So good.
I guess with all the competition, people are like constantly like undercutting each other and things like that.
Yeah, like the cart food is like we walk around the corner, you can find the same thing.
Right.
And like some of the, like, we got in this like skewer cart, and the skewer cart was one of the best just like meat I've ever had in my life.
Oh. Interesting.
Food was really good. People were like, they weren't like overly nice or anything, but that's kind of my vibe. People were just doing their own thing and just like say, don't bother me.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like that vibe.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, good to hear. But yeah, we'll have to talk about that some more.
Yeah, I'll go into some more detail later.
But yeah, so he was gone in New York, but we're back now here for sequence 5.
Yeah.
We're finally through the first act of this game. You know, last game we'd be almost wrapping up, but now, I mean, we just finished the first act. We're now through kind of like the tutorialized aspect of it. This is it. This is now. We've been pretty much fully exposed to what Assassin's Creed 2 is all about. But real quick, before we get into the details, just wanted to go over last week's trivia very quickly. So shout out once again to Malarkey for getting this one correct. I've got an extra special little trivia question for you later, since you wanted to give a shit about it being too easy. But this week's trivia question is, what does La Volpe stand for in Assassin's Creed 2? The curious character we met last sequence. Well, La Volpe stands for the fox. So congratulations to Malarkey and anyone else who got that trivia question correct. You will find out soon about this next week's trivia question. So yeah, let's get into it. Lucas, how are you feeling now? 5 sequences in, first act complete. What's up?
So I felt like we did a lot of killing, and I'm happy about that. Because, you know, we're an assassin.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We just kill people. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like getting shit done this sequence. He was kind of showing off all his assassin skills. Mm-hmm. Actually, like, full assassin. Like, don't fuck with this man.
Literally. Yeah. And I guess one thing I'm curious about is your take on how the progression system works. Because it's obviously, you know, this is not an RPG. This is an action-adventure game where you're not leveling up your character. But compared to the last game, where it is kind of like kill a target, get upgrades, where it's much more kind of in your hands and kind of in the open things, where it's very like gear based as well as decoding codex pages and things like that. How are you feeling about your overall growth on a gameplay standpoint?
Well, we unlocked some cool like tools just like in the main storyline.
Right.
So I don't, to be honest, I don't really go after the side kind of stuff that often. I just slice people because slicing's fun.
That's fair. Yeah, I meant to keep track of how many like health bars I was at, because I was going to ask you to keep track and then compare, because I don't know, but I got a long list.
I didn't even know that you could add health bars. I think I'm still at the same amount, unless the game gives you some.
Well, there's two different ways you increase health. One is by decoding codex pages. For every 4 codex pages you decode, you get a health bar. And then it's also gear-based. So better gear will give you more health.
Basically, I've only upgraded my sword because, like I said, I like slicing.
Well, I don't think weapons... Yeah, weapons don't. It is only your armor.
Oh, well, I've not done that either, so...
Yeah. You're still in the basic armor?
Yeah. I don't get hit, bro. You just kill people. I'm an assassin. I don't know. What would you need armor for? It's loud and clanky.
I don't know. My guy looked pretty sick, which I do like the customization in the game and that, like... Obviously, you dye your clothes, which, yeah. Shout out, I'm now rocking the, I think it's the Tuscany, what's it called?
The crimson?
No.
The mahogany? Crimson.
That's all from Florence. Oh,
Florence, I'm bad.
Yeah, we got the Tuscany dyes now. I'm going to look this up, because it's going to bug me until I do. I'm rocking the best one for that. I've changed it up from my Florentine Crimson or Scarlet or whichever one I had. I think it was Scarlet was the one I was rocking before.
I always just wear the Emerald one because I like the green with the black coat or cloak. I think it looks
cool. Tuscan Ochre. That's the one I got, I'm pretty sure.
Sounds brown.
Yeah, so this is the one that I'm currently rocking, I'm pretty sure. The other ones, yeah, I don't think, I'm pretty sure it's the Ochre. Whichever one was the more expensive one is the one I'm currently rocking. But then, like, your armor will go on top of that, still to the point where it's, like, it's not, like, you know, like, it's not overshadowing the dye, but it kind of is, like, layered on top of it a little bit. Like, you've got, like, your breastplate and your bracers and things like that. And I have, like, currently, like, the most expensive set because where Lucas is one to not really do a whole lot of side stuff, I do pretty much all of it. And it's one of my main qualms with this game now, which we'll get into a little later, is how they handle some of the side content in this game. Just... kind of baffles me in a weird way. Like, it's a small stain on an otherwise stellar game. But yeah, I have a ton of money right now because of it. It's not like I hoard my money. Like, I'd be spending it. I own everything you can possibly own in Florence and Tuscany. And I've still got about 30K because I've just been doing... You know, I've been doing the most. And so I've got all this gear. I've got all this armor. I've got all these paintings and my value. I'm raking in, like, I want to say almost $6,000 an hour in Florence. It's pretty nuts. It's pretty nuts. I've got 8K sitting at the bank right now.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of moolah. What can I say? Matrajoni's popping. All right. I got some fat stacks over there, but, what was the point I was making of all that? I had a point and I kind of diverged off because I was right. Oh, about the armor. Yeah, it's nonchalant. It's not clunky and it gives me more health and other bonuses as well.
I was
just
more talking about defense. From like a role playing standpoint, like as an assassin, I feel like you wouldn't really want armor, I guess, unless you're, you know, going head on battle, but.
Which you do quite often in this game.
Yeah, this game, I mean, there's a fair amount of assassination, but, like, you're also kind of just a badass warrior on the battlefield.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've tested out all the different weapons. So I was playing around with the maul a little bit, I think towards the beginning of the sequence. And yeah, that thing womps. Because another pretty big improvement over the first game is the variety of enemy types in this game. Because... Oh, yeah. I think it does help with the differentiation in your playstyle because, you know, like I really like using my knife for the most part because it seems like a good balance between like the styles. However, those brutes, that knife ain't going to do much. And like you can kill them with a knife 100%,
yeah.
But it takes a lot longer. So usually depending on how armored the people are will determine which weapon I use. So, like, if I'm just fighting grunts, I'm over here using just, like, hidden blades. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But, like, if they've got a little bit of armor on them, that's when I start whipping out the knife. And, you know, if I'm facing, like, heavily armored guys, a lot of guys with that, I'm all in. I'm going with my sword, which I'm currently, I believe, rocking the old captain's sword, I think.
That's what I got.
Yeah. So, pretty cool stuff. But I found out, because I was exploring Montrejoni a little bit, and there's some, like, bonus content, you know, like DLC, different things like that. And there's a really good sword that you get. And so I was like, oh, why don't I just equip that? But the second I left Montrejoni, it unequipped, and I just didn't have a sword anymore. So I had to go back to Montrejoni and equip back the regular sword, because you can't equip from menu. It was really annoying. I didn't realize that until I was, like, already doing stuff in Tuscany, and I was like, where the fuck is my sword?
Why did it take away your sword?
I don't know. I think you have to be, like, a certain amount in to get it, was my guess. And but, like, why would you let me equip it then?
Yeah.
Because it's, like, I guess you could technically fight. Like, there's no one to fight in Montrejoni, though. You would get, like, desynced for it. Like, maybe for the practice range? I don't know. But you can really dumb.
You can practice with it. You're not ready to actually slice people yet.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, why would you let me equip it in the first place then? But anyway, that was weird. So fun fact about that I realized. Also, I bought one of the special combos that cost money. And it's actually kind of sick. It's a little, like, it's a bit of a... kind of a rare use case, because it's only really useful if you've got a bunch of enemies around you. It's kind of like one of those, like, crowd control-esque things.
Spin move.
What I want to do is try to, which I haven't done yet, is to incorporate it with a smoke bomb. If I ever get overwhelmed, drop a smoke bomb and then hit it. But basically, it's where if you hold X, which would be square for you PlayStation people, you, like, with throwing knives equipped, it lets you do multiple, and just, like, you have to, like, charge it. So you have to hold it and charge it up, and then, phew! It just shoots out everywhere.
I like that.
It's really cool. It cost me $5,000, but it was worth it. Because, yeah, anytime I just get cornered by a bunch of people, I'm like, all right, fine. And it only uses one throwing knife per thing.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just like, phew! 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 Until, like, they get whittled down. But, like, it is, like, directional. Like, it's... I think it throws out 3, maybe more. I don't know. It's kind of hard to track. But it's, like, it'll shoot, like, 1 straight, 1 off at a specific angle, and 1... It's not, like, auto-targeting. So you can miss, which is the thing. Like, it's not super-duper reliable, which is why, like, the more people you have, the better, because then there's a better chance of it hitting. If you just got, like, a few guys coming at you, it's not super useful, because you're probably going to end up missing. Like, you'll get 1 or 2. But if you've got, like, a crowd around you, it's really great for just, like, thinning the herd, because they'll drop. Like, it's a one shot. So it's just, but it's really fun. But yeah, so I learned that move, which is cool.
I like that move. I might have to learn it.
Yeah. But, yeah, super cool stuff. And again, just, like, more things that you got, like, a different variety in the combat styles and animations, and yeah, now different, like, move sets and things like that. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, I like, one of my favorite, like, kind of things is like countering with the Assassin's Blade versus countering with, like, a knife or a sword. Like, the timing's different. And, like, you have to be more precise with the Assassin's Blade. Like, if you mess up that timing, you're going to get hit. Versus a sword, like, you can hit counter, like, before they're, like, even moving their arm sometimes, and you'll still win that. But if you hit it, like, if you hit it too early with the blade, you're getting whacked. It's kind of fun. Like, you just have to strategize for each weapon you use and have a different play style.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, yeah, it's super deep. And again, like, for a game in 2009... It really is. It really does just, like, go to show, like, just how much work was put into this game. But, you know, there were a couple areas they skimmed on, which we're going to get into here. But let's get into the actual, like, story of the sequence proper. So you start out speaking with Lorenzo, where he tells Ezio about co-conspirators working with the remaining Pazzis, prompting Ezio to seek his uncle's counsel. And Lorenzo also gives Ezio another codex page that he found in Federico's files. So, get another one of those.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Which you then open up, which I actually did this before I talked to Lorenzo, but like narratively, it's not technically like a thing until after. You do get a side mission in the game where you infiltrate the Palazzo Medici in order to save Lorenzo from the Templars. They're like invading his home, trying to capture him again. And so there's a side mission there, which leads me to the trivia question of the week. Mr. Malarkey, answer me this. What's that side mission called? What's the name of that side mission? You want me to get tough? You want me to get deep? All right, give me that name.
Better not Google it.
Better not Google it. Yeah, that's right. Googling is cheating. So let me know down in the comments, down over on our Patreon if you're listening on the audio, patreon.com/resyncpodcast. Yeah, just let us know. What is the name of that side mission? Which Lucas didn't do that side mission, so we're not going to talk about that this week. Once again, if you don't remember, basically how we're handling side content is when both of us get done with the mission, we will then speak on it, which we do have something to speak on because Brother completed Il Duomo's Secret.
I did.
So let's talk about that. I'm excited. Since you're the one who's most recently kind of like completed it, I'm going to let you kind of lead the charge on it. And so,
you know, it was typical tomb formula where you go through the secret door and then there's like a big church looking room and then you have to climb that big ass church looking room. I remember there's a few spots on this one where, especially cause I wanted to get to chests cause you have to climb all the way up to the top and then there's like this center thing that goes and you just have to jump into it.
Mm.
There is a hidden chest, and it took me way too long to figure out how to get to that chest.
Yeah, some of those puzzles are no joke when it comes to like the optional stuff. Yeah. I really love the level design with these crypts. I think they're really, really
well, parkour, like, thoughtful the parkour design. Is great.
The subtle little cues they have, like you follow the eagles, like follow the birds, yeah, follow the birds that are inside the building, which I was just like scratching my head about. I'm like, man, they're talking about all this restoration work with the construction people. Meanwhile, they got fucking birds in their shit.
Which also, if you haven't noticed, birds in the overworld, if you see them on ledges, that means you can jump into a hay barrel.
Yeah, it designates a leap of faith nearby. Yeah. But, yeah, they also kind of use it as, like, cues of, like, you know, that you're heading in the right direction. For in terms of, like, these types of missions, which I really appreciate. It's very thoughtful level design where it's, like, it's not holding your hand, but it is kind of guiding you because there is this understanding within, you know, I think the development, you know, the team where it's, like, there is fun and satisfaction to be had between like chaining stuff together versus making like one move and then surveying the area and being like, okay, where do I go next? The fun of being able to like pull off a sequence of parkour moves to get up somewhere is really satisfying. And so like, obviously, you know, you can replay this stuff and have fun with that. But like, even like on the first time, being able to pull off like a cool little sequence, right off the bat is really fun. It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
And this kind of level design really does help with that. And it's something I really appreciate, especially for it being side content.
Yeah. I was always trying to basically just run it nonstop because like, I mean, yeah, you can take your time and jump and like, if that's your style, then for sure. But like, for me, I'm just like, I'm an assassin. I'm just going to run this shit.
Yep.
And I fell a couple times because, you know, I suck.
Well, I mean, like, it's also, like, again, like, 2009 physics.
Some of it was a little wonky. Sometimes
it really does just, like, make you go whoop.
Yeah, or I'll jump and I'll, like, I'm like, why didn't you grab that ledge? Your head literally hit the top of that ledge. Why didn't you fucking just put your hand up?
Yep. Exactly. So, like, there's a couple wonky things that happen from time to time. But, I mean, in general, it's just a solid time, and like I say, I just really appreciate the level design of these tombs. I think they're just very thoughtful, and like with the variety that they have, and yeah, just some cool little side missions. And so, but again, that was Il Duomo's Secret, where you get one of the
seals.
Yeah, you get one of the seals to get closer to Altair's armor, which, you know, that's armor. Huh? Are you going for armor?
Yeah, but that's because it's the lightest armor.
That's fair.
That's part of the lore. That's fair. That's like, it's super light, and we don't know why. I'm like, that's because of magic. I want the magic light armor.
Yeah. Well, shut up. But trying to think. There is also another tomb that Lucas did get to and I got to as well, one that opened up. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Coming back to the main stuff, which, again, we're only doing side content that both of us have completed. But for full transparency, I did a total of 23 side missions this sequence.
Yeah, he fucking grinded that shit.
Because, again, I've been playing it with a bit of... So you have your role-playing in terms of your gear. I have role-playing in terms of the actual, you know, game. And so, like, if I see something, I'm going to do it. Because, like, I imagine, like, if I'm Ezio, like, I have... Like, I feel like I have some sort of semblance of responsibility. And I just feel like that's who Ezio is. So if he sees something, he's going to be like, oh, what's this? Like, let me check this out. And so... It's one of my main qualms right now that I'm having with the game, which is just a stellar, amazing game. But like what keeps it from being like a 10 out of 10, honestly, for me right now, it's a 9 out of 10. It's an amazing game, but it is not a 10 because of just some baffling decisions. One we'll get into in a little bit. But this other one is that you are now able to do assassination contracts. That opens up. And so you can visit pigeon coops. That will give you, it is Lorenzo instructing you to kill people across all of Italy.
Stabby, stabby.
It's giving you different assassination targets for you to go for. And they're actually very, pretty thoughtfully well designed. I had a lot of fun with pretty much all of them. They're good missions. But instead of, like, divvying them out, like they do pretty much every other system in this fucking game, they just drop all of them at once for the location. There's a total of 30 assassination contracts.
God damn.
I've done 15 of them because I'm pretty sure all of the ones in Florence and all of the ones in Tuscany. So it's like, why? Like, I'm okay. Like, okay, drop a batch or something like that, but we're in sequence 5. Why are you giving me all of these contracts right now? Like, and again, it's optional content. You're not forced to do all of them. But again, I've just been playing it in like a role-playing sense. So like, as soon as you finish one, the next one will pop up at the pigeon coop. And there are multiple pigeon coops across the city. So you're pretty likely to run into one. So I'm just constantly seeing this thing pop up. And I'm just like, well, okay, let me try this out.
Like, yeah.
So, you know, I'm grinding missions. It's part of why I'm so rich. It is because, like, I've made so much money off of these contracts and everything. And I'm about to drop some fat stacks in Monteregioni in sequence 6. Let me tell you what. There's a lot of weird stuff. When they sparse upgrades and everything like that out, why would you not also sparse out your missions? It's just such a baffling choice to me when you have... like relatively similar systems across your gameplay, but don't want to apply it there. It seemed like, I don't know. I know a lot of times when it comes to side content, it is kind of like one of those things that happens at the finish line. And so I don't know if this was like a crunch type of thing where they just didn't have time to implement it more thoughtfully, I guess. I don't know. Because this was a game made in 2 years. Yeah. So, I mean, like, part of the reason of Brotherhood's existence is because they didn't have time to finish it. It was originally supposed to be a part of Assassin's Creed 2, but then it got pushed back a year. Just crazy to see how they create such good things in such a short time frame when it takes most of these developers a decade to make this shit now. But, you know, it is what it is.
It's half as good.
Exactly. But, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, that little rant aside, it's just very weird. But main story-wise, you take the Codex pages to Leonardo.
Yeah.
And receive another upgrade. So now you have a poison blade.
Poison stabby.
How you feeling about the poison? Were you using that much?
I used it a couple times at the beginning to try it out. Honestly, it was the first time when I first got it. I was like, I just saw some guards walk by, and I was like, I'm just going to stab them with it, see what happens. I didn't realize it was like a berserker thing where he got all crazy. He was like swinging, like hitting people and shit. I was like, oh, wow. I like that. So I'm definitely going to be using that some more, especially like in the more stealthy kind of missions.
So, I've had one extremely good use case for it so far. Otherwise, it doesn't super fit into my playstyle. I've been trying to incorporate it a little more because, again, I want to be as varied of an assassin as I can. But there was one specific mission, which I'm going to get into here. But again, we might talk about it later. But there's an assassination contract where you have to take out 10 brutes in, I believe it's 60 seconds or something like that. Seemingly very hard. Unless you have the poison blade, which made it really funny because like they were in like two groups of five. So you get like spoilers for this assassination contract if you care or whatever. But like I really want to get into this because it was a really cool case of the poison blade. So there were two batches of five. I blended my way behind the first group and then I literally just assassinated all of them. I think there might have been one left. Dang. Of that first five, because I did the double assassination on two brutes. Yeah. And then before they could react, I'd already assassinated another couple. And I think the last one might have gotten his sword ready. So then I just whipped out the poison, and I'm just like, bloop! And then he's sitting there. He's like, oh! And so then the other group notices, and they come charging at me. I still got the poison blade, and I'm just like, bloop, bloop, bloop. Actually, I did get all five, because you only have five vials of poison.
Oh yeah.
So I did get all five. I just assassinated them, and then the other guys were like, what the fuck? And so they came over, and that's why I whipped out the poison blade, and I'm just like
stab, stab, stab,
all five of them. And so they all just start going crazy and beating the shit out of each other. And they all plopped, and I got it because
hell yeah. Well, that's a good use case.
And I never did anything. Like I was just doing a set, like the hidden blade, and then I did the poison blade and just poisoned the rest
stabby,
of them.
Stabby, man.
And that's 10 brutes done in 60 seconds. And it made me feel pretty fucking legit. I was happy with myself after that one. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty assassin-y.
Yeah.
Poison stabby.
Yeah, it was a fun time. So, yeah, if you are playing that contract and you're having some issues, that's a really good way to get through it, is essentially, like, stealth your way through that first group and then whip out that poison blade for the last one, and they're fucking toast. It can be difficult because a lot of the times, like, you know, if you are engaged in normal combat, I don't think it'll let you use the poison blade. Like, a lot of times they'll just, like, counter it. And so... I think it has to be a fairly specific circumstance to use the poison blade.
It's just like a regular assassination. Like if you're in combat, you can't just assassinate somebody.
Yeah. So like if it ever, like usually I'm just using the standard blades up until that point. And then by the time it gets to the thing where I want to use the poison, it's too late anyway. And then I'll just go into regular combat. So again, I'm trying to find a balanced use case for it, but there are some really cool stuff you can do with that. And I do appreciate just the growing amount of variety that this game offers you in terms of combat and assassination techniques and all this stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
Just continuing to one-up the first game in every single way. And it's like, I almost, like, I really feel bad for the first game. Like, I really do. Like, I always, like, because a lot of people, they start with two because, you know, some people, like, people over on PlayStation don't have access to the first game. They can't even play it if they wanted to. And so this is a lot of people's, like, first experience with Assassin's Creed. And it's so difficult. It's basically impossible to recommend the first game to anybody who's played the second because it is inferior in every aspect.
Yeah.
That's why I always recommend people play the first game first. Because otherwise, it is going to seem like such a pile of dog shit in comparison.
Yeah, and then you get to the, like, revelations, and you find out some stuff, and you're like, why do I care about this?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, there are things to love about the first game. Like, the first game is a great game that I think holds up in a lot of ways. But man, having this follow it up is just such a burn. Such a burn.
You know, usually if like the people I know who play the first game later have like played like all the Assassin's Creed game and are just like fans and are like, okay, I gotta play the first one because I've played all the other ones.
Mm-hmm. And they usually don't enjoy it. They don't
know that. Usually it's like, this game is a hard game to get through.
And it's like, okay, like, yes.
It's really not that bad at all.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's just by comparison.
Yeah.
Like, But you, again, understanding, appreciating, seeing the fundamentals and kind of how all of this stuff came to be, kind of like getting in the head of the developers there, seeing the foundations for a lot of what we have now is really cool. But not to get too deep into a game we've already spent a season covering, but just such good stuff over here on 2. But then I have to flip through my notes because, like, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 6 pages of notes for this sequence, but that's because of all the side missions I have.
So many
side and missions. So I gotta go through here and make sure that I'm, like, I have stuff, like, organized. So, yeah, got the poison blade. Getting back, because, again, like, all of this stuff is all side missions that Lucas has not completed, so we're not there yet. But back to the villa, Ezio meets Mario, where he fills him in on recent events, as well as gives him the decoded codex pages. And willing to help chase down Jacopo's co-conspirators, Mario beckons Ezio to the practice field to train.
Yeah, and Ezio's like, "I'm badass," and he's like, "Haha, very funny, but you're training anyways."
Yep. And so, a couple years later, because if you're keeping track on the timeline...
I'm not.
this is a solid... I'm trying to... Let me double check when...
Do your math.
...started. There it is. 1476 was when this game first started. By the end of the sequence, we're in 1480. Damn. So almost 4 years have passed... I believe the sequence starts in 78, and so the this sequence actually does last 2 years.
A couple of years, yeah.
So, which they don't do a super good job of explaining, but if you actually look at the DNA and look at the difference, like, because they will say the year of each specific mission,
yeah,
it does take you 2 years to get through those, like, 4 targets, which we'll get into here in a sec. And so I believe this is kind of like part of that, where, like, there is like a little bit of a training period that takes some time, where Ezio is learning some more from Mario, which you learn how to dodge and disarm.
Yeah, and you could already do that if, you know, you knew how to, because it doesn't really lock you out of it.
Yeah.
But also, if you're dumb like me, I spent like 20 minutes... thinking that my game was broken because I was strafing instead of dodging.
Oh, you weren't holding the trigger.
I wasn't holding the trigger button down. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm dodging his fucking, like, he's not hitting me. like, I just dodged his shit. Why is this not counting? And then, yeah, I held down the trigger button. So if you're dumb like me, that's what's happening.
Yep. Just, you know, read the UI prompts.
I didn't know what it meant. I had a picture of a fucking head.
Oh, like, yeah. What the fuck does that mean? Yeah. The Ubisoft's horrible PC optimization strikes again. Yeah, like, I remember
what
that.
What the hell does a head mean? I was so confused. I had a head with an error on it. And I was like, which now I know what that means. But like at the same time, I'm like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's fair. That's valid. Which also, that reminds me of, like, while we're in the villa, did you have any, like, significant, like, villa upgrades that you got into this sequence?
No, because I didn't have as much money as I did by the end of this sequence. Because I was like, I had 15, maybe a little less. And I was like, I'm not going to spend a bunch of money. But then I did the sequence and I got a bunch of money. So I just need to go back and upgrade the shit out of that.
Right. Yeah, I didn't have anything too significant myself, just because, again, like, yeah, similarly by that point, a lot of the money that I had accrued, I was spending pretty much as soon as I got it in, like, the shops and whatnot. Yeah. I did go on some treasure hunts. I found one of the statues, finally, and so I was able to put that in place. But I was doing some treasure hunting in Monteregione because I finally got the treasure maps for that. And so I was doing some treasure hunting in Monteregione, got me some cash. And like I said, I got that upgrade for the throwing knives.
Then
invested a little bit into the shops and whatnot. And so now I think I've got a level 2 doctor's office, I believe. And then a level 2 Thread Shop, I believe, is the other one that's level two.
A tailor or a
tailor? Okay. Yeah, whatever they're
you
called.
Said, you said Thread Shop.
Yeah, I know the thimble. I just don't know the names of all of them. Yeah, so they got the tailor, and then obviously, you know, you've got like the blacksmith and the art shop, whatever that's called. But that's it. My next one's the brothel, though. That is my next purchase.
That should have been your first purchase.
Sorry, I'm not a whore. But, yeah, I'm excited. Because, like I said, I've got 30K, and I'm pretty much going to exclusively drop that in, like, Montreux Johnny.
Investment.
Literally. Pretty much. Because, like I said, I've got everything else at this point. Pretty sure the only thing I could purchase right now. I'm sure there'll be some new unlocks for Sequence 6 when we come back. But, like, it's going to be pretty much just, like, all I have is stuff through the Architect and, like, those combos, which I believe there's two more combos I can unlock, and they're each 10K, if I remember correctly.
Damn, those are expensive.
Yeah. But also, they're probably pretty sick because of it, so yeah. I'm excited. So, probably not going to get those just yet, because there are a lot of smaller upgrades in Montreux Johnny I'd like to do that's probably going to blow through the majority of my money. But we'll see. But very excited about that. I'm excited to just, like, comb through Montreux Johnny here in Sequence 6 and figure out all that. Because, yeah, that's the stuff I've paid the least attention to, because I'm out and about, like, during the missions. I'll just spend my money on all that stuff. And so it usually doesn't leave me with a whole lot left to put into Montreux Johnny. But I'm also buying a lot of the paintings and different stuff that will increase my value. So I'm still getting there. But in terms of the actual building renovations, I haven't done a ton.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And so once you're done, you know, learning all that, it's going to Tuscany, where Mario's got mercenaries set up to help you take down those co-conspirators over the next couple years.
Yeah, there's a lot of mercenaries in that fucking place.
Yeah, a lot of mercenaries. Mario's got a whole fucking army for some reason. And
they're pretty good. Yeah. I used them a couple times.
Yeah, pretty solid. And so this is really the first chance we've got, like, a good view into Tuscany. We did visit there back in Sequence 3 to take on Vieri, but that was kind of like a brief glimpse. This is now kind of like the first time that we've actually got like an extended period in Tuscany, being able to check out all the goodies and such. And this comes to my second qualm with the game.
Tuscany sucks.
Yeah, it's just not built well. Like, it's just a bunch of towers that are all designed the exact same way. These super long runways that, like, encourage you to then be more vertical and climb up the buildings. Except every fucking building has an archer who's aggressive as shit and constantly wants beef. And so it's, like, it's claustrophobic and not super well designed. It just seems like an afterthought. Like, you cannot tell me this wasn't the last city they came up with.
And what drives me crazy about it too is, like, the archers, they were basically, if you didn't have throwing knives, they were impossible to kill without getting your notoriety up.
Yeah.
Or, like, if they saw you at all, like, you could, as soon as you brought your weapon, they're like, huh!
Literally, they're just immediately trying to scrap. And it's annoying. Like I said, I was doing a bunch of assassination contracts, and there were some where it wanted you to be stealthy. And when it comes to stealth killing archers, it's basically impossible. Because the second they see that weapon, they're on it. And so it's like, and because, again, like, it's not even like a, if they see you, they'll just be like, whatever. Like, if you even come anywhere near them and they see you, then they're upset. Like, even before you draw a weapon. So you just, like, have to, like, get, like, their entire movement down, hope that you haven't miscalculated. It's really annoying.
That's why I used to use throwing knives, but then you run out of them really fast because, like, there's a million fucking archers.
Yeah. But just, yeah, not great. Tuscany's design, like, compared to Florence, which has a ton of variety, it's and great. Really, really just good map design, Tuscany's not that. And it's just weird, and I don't like it, and just, what's going on
every
there?
Waypoint tower is, like, basically the same.
It is. It is basically the same thing. And also, again, like, I'm doing a lot of treasure hunting, I'm doing a lot of side stuff, and so, like, I'm seeing these treasures, I gotta, like, they gotta put these pretty nice treasures, I mean, like, 500 gold usually, treasures, all the way up to the fucking top of these towers. So I got to climb the exact same tower over and over again because they literally copied and pasted these shits. So you can't tell me they didn't. Like, it's just the same shit every time. The same design. And I'm like, who okayed this? Just weird. Just a bunch of samey pillars with a couple interesting landmarks thrown in there. Yeah, Tuscany's not a super well-designed city. And I did not have a lot of fun chasing down a bunch of side stuff here. You know, if you just blazing through the story, it's one thing, just kind of like a minor annoyance. But really, because again, I'm going through for the 100%. I'm trying to, you know, leave no stone unturned. Yeah, it really started getting to me. And I was just like, man, the design of this is not that great.
Very repetitive, but, you know, it's an old game. Cut some slack.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like I said, for all of this game's positives, you know, this is just little things to, like, nitpick at. Just because, I mean, this is, you know, a whole podcast about the game. We're going to talk about the good and the bad. Yeah, this is something that I'm just like, what are you doing there, Ubisoft? You know, if you guys ever decide to remake Assassin's Creed 2 at some point, which they probably will, knowing the industry.
They need to at this point to save their freaking skins.
Maybe fix Tuscany a little. Just like
make it good.
Fix Tuscany and fix your side content rollout. And then you've got a 10 out of 10 game. Like, at least thus far. That's how I'm feeling after Sequence 5. But, you know, with getting into Tuscany, we've got another crypt, another tomb that Lucas managed to check out. The Torregrossa's Secret.
Secret tomb.
So in this one, Ezio infiltrates the Torregrossa to find the assassin seal hidden within. Which, yeah. Again, I might have you lead this one because, like, yeah, I got all mixed up now.
So on this one was a lot more annoying than the last one. Because the last one was just like, hey, climb this thing. Mm-hmm. This one was like, hey, climb this thing. But also, there's a billion guards you have to dodge. I used to really have to dodge them.
Was that the one where you went up the tower?
Yes, I think at the end.
Yeah, there's towards the end, and there's those one guards that you basically, like, have to force. Because I stealth killed all of them. But, like, there was this one where I was trying to, like, climb up. And as I was climbing, I can't do anything to them. They noticed me and started throwing rocks at me and kept knocking me fucking down.
Yeah, those fucking assholes.
Yeah. Pissed me off. I'm like, how are you supposed to make it through that part?
Yeah.
Like, because it made me mad.
With, like, the bookshelves, right?
Further along but yes. The bookshelves? Okay, like, when you're going up, like, the doing the platform, like, at the very end.
Yeah.
Honestly, they might be the very last guards you have to do. But it's, like, when you have to climb up on the, up on this, like, kind of side thing, and you do that. And then, like, because it was right then, like, as I'm climbing on there, on the opposite wall, there was a guard walking, and he notices me. He's like, hey, and immediately starts throwing shit at me, and I fall halfway down the fucking tower because there's nothing to grab there. You're, like, suspended. There's nothing below it to grab onto to save yourself. So you're just forced to plummet. Yeah. And I did it, like, two or three times before I fell far enough down that they gave up, and I was able to get up quick enough before they started noticing. Like, it literally felt like it was just a luck of where the AI was at when you were platforming.
Yeah.
I was like, that was annoying. But outside of that, like I said, I do enjoy these missions in general, but that part really irked me.
For sure, yeah. But this was a lot of guards. I have a big gripe with, I think it's not even really a gripe. It's just, like, I wish that stealth systems were a thing. Back in, like, real stealth systems, not like, hey, get in this crowd of people. You know what I mean? Because you can't, like, crouch or, like, you can't, like, really hide from people in this game.
Yeah, true.
Like, you just, like, kind of, like, walk around, or even, like, I was up on high on some stuff, and I got caught a few times, and I was like, well, where the fuck am I supposed to hide? How did you hide? You're just standing up.
Yeah. I utilized a lot of throwing knives in this specific mission. Like, I would use it, and then I'd kind of use it to, like, draw out another guard, because he would go check it out, and then I would literally pull, like, a ring around the Rosie on a pillar. Like, he would, like, walk and just do, like, just, like, go behind, just, like, That was kind of one of my go-to moves for this specific mission. Yeah. And as I was getting, like, lazier, and I was like, all right, let me just chuck a knife. Oh, he's coming. Do a little run around the obstacle to then get behind him. But had fun there. But yeah, you get another, you know.
A little piece.
Another little piece of the puzzle.
Some treasure chests, and, you know, Yeah, money.
Yeah, lots of money.
Lots of money.
But another side mission down in the books. But I've got to continue to skip ahead. Like I said, you've got four different little sub-targets on your way to essentially figuring out where what's-his-nuts Jacob, is at. Or Jacoby.
Jacobo, whatever. What the
fuck is this? Jacobo. That is not how you spell his name.
I spelled it right somewhere.
Jacobo.
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 There was one of the times that I actually spelled it right. Well, maybe not.
But, so yeah, you're essentially going after his friends.
Wait, that's how you spell it.
That is not how you spell it.
Yes, it is.
I swear on my life, that's not how you spell it. It's J-A-C-O-B-O. Jacobo. Jacobo.
Man, I must have been really fucking toasted.
But, so I organized this in terms, I almost did it in order. I just went by like the sequence order and the DNA. So that's kind of how I figured. But the first one chronologically is Antonio Maffei, who is on top of a tower in
Town Crier.
In San Gimignano, surrounded by archers. And he is literally just like spouting out like demon nonsense.
I really don't know how anyone can hear him up there, but like I could hear him. So I guess other people could.
And so, again, like, I had done so many side missions. Like, I combed over the city. I thought it was hilarious how, like, as soon as I started the mission, all of these, like, scaffolding structures just appeared on this tower and everything. Like, you know, I'm like, I know damn well that was not there. But,
I honestly, did the archers bother you too much with this mission? Like, I killed two archers on my way up to there, and then I got to, like, the main platform and killed the rest of those archers, and then I got to them. So, I had, like, zero issues getting to the top of that tower.
Yeah, I went, like I went up to, like, the neighboring tower that had the connecting rope, you know?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? So I went up there, killed those archers, and then I used that rope to travel. Then I just climbed up, and I, like, shimmied along the ledge until I was right behind him. And then I just popped up and, like, bloop! I was really mad because I couldn't do a ledge assassination. And so I had to physically get up and do it. And stab him. But, yeah, I just went just, like, shimmied behind him and did a little phew. And that was fun. Like, and, like, one archer spotted me, so I just killed him real quick. The others didn't even have a clue what was going on. So I just killed the one guy, and then I just, like, leap of faith my way off there. I was like, fuck you guys, I'm out.
You're like, hey.
But, yeah, no. So, started talking about him, and I don't think he reveals too much about, like, he's pretty much like a fuck you guy, you know, like, because this is, like, a father.
Yeah, that guy didn't really, like, reveal anything. He was just like, yeah, fuck you, basically. I think he even might have said fuck you, but, like.
Yeah, literally. Not really giving us too much. But the next target is Francesco Salviati, which is holed up in a villa, but Mario's mercenaries are basically like, we'll raid the whole thing for you. You just have to get us in there. And so you kind of pull off this, like, Dynasty Warriors type shit where you just, like, send a little army after, like, the villa, and then you just, like, climb above the above the walls to then open the gates to let them in.
And you just murder everybody. And for some reason, Bro's just out there in his pajamas.
Yeah, literally. Well, I mean, it is nighttime, so.
Well, yeah, but he's also walking around his complex, like, yelling about how he's about to die.
Yeah, literally.
Like, so what's he doing in his pajamas? Like, anything kill you in your pajamas.
Yeah, get fucked. And so, you know, he died, like, kind of a pussy. You know, trying to get his guards, because I was on him. Like, my thing was, I was trying to figure out which one he was for a little bit, because I heard the talking, and, like, the dialogue was like, which one is he? And then I see this dude in pajamas with a sword coming at me, and I'm like, oh, I bet that's him.
Well, also, if you hold your eagle vision, he's gold.
Well, yeah, fair, but there was a lot going on at the time. I wasn't thinking about eagle vision. There was just a lot of people attacking. I was like, all right, let's go. Boom, boom, boom. And then I heard him talking, like, he was right there, and I was like, which one is he?
You didn't really need eagle vision to figure it out.
Like I said, it didn't take me too long. It was really just scanning around the room. Oh, this one guy who has no armor on is just this fucking PJ swinging his sword around like he's fucking Big Dick Brandon over here. But So that was interesting, which I believe he was the one saying that they convene at night, was kind of his little shred of stuff that he was talking about, kind of giving us a little crumb as to when to find Jacobo.
Yeah.
And so next up, which I did get these last two swapped around in terms of the order. And so next up, chronologically speaking, is Bernardo Beroncelli, who actually escaped prison. He had been detained by Lorenzo, but he got away and was on the loose in San Gimignano. So Ezio hunts him down.
And is this the guy who's just walking around with like two bodyguards?
He's in the like villa, like he's in like the kind of like villa like marketplace. Yeah. And he's like talking all this shit about like, oh man, like everybody, like he's scared shitless.
Yeah, he's like freaking out.
And it was one of those things I thought was really funny because like he saw me, like I looked around and I was like, this man's out in the open. I'm just gonna go up and assassinate him. The second this man saw me, it's like he didn't alert any guards. Bro just started running. Bro was just like, nope. And just like starts going. He made it all of like 2 seconds before I was on him. See, but like
I got super lucky, and I don't know if his path is predetermined or what, but I was like kind of just hopping between the crowds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the times I was just chilling there waiting, and he like waiting to move on to the next crowd. He, like, turned and, like, walked right past my crowd. Like, was coming right at me towards my crowd of people I was hiding in. And I just literally was just like, oh, stab. And I got him right when he walked by. So he wasn't even alerted. It was great.
Hell yeah. Nah, bro was panini pressed. He was straight gunning for it. But he was also slow as shit because he's a big old fat boy. Yeah, he
looked fat. So
I was like, bro, you're mine. And I believe that was when they said that he said that they were meeting at the church. I think he gave that information.
Yes, it was.
And so, talking about a specific church at nighttime. So we're church almost there about finding this man's. Which brings us to our last target. Stefano da Bagnor.
The cowl does not make the monk.
So he's actually hiding in an abbey, but Mario's mercenaries give Ezio a new little device to use as a distraction.
Smoke bomb.
We got smoke bombs now, which was really fun because I literally would just, I literally waltzed in there. Everybody was like, what the fuck's going on? I walked right up to him. Nothing had happened yet. I just dropped a smoke bomb in his face and then stabbed him. I literally just went like walking up. I was like,
See, I went to the roof and like was walking on the roof looking for him. And when I saw him, he like came right by the haystack. And I like jumped in the haystack, came out as he walked by. And then I also like dropped a smoke bomb right in front of him and just stabbed him. And I ran in the hay barrel or haystack, but they stabbed me in the haystack.
Ah,
and I had to run away.
See, I just dropped another smoke bomb and then I ran away.
Ah, I should have done that. I had more than one smoke bomb.
Yeah,
there's no cooldown either because it's not a new game. Like
exactly. So he's good, but he then reveals about something about like the Roman gods or something, or like. There's something
I didn't get his written down because I was laughing at him.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't reveal much, but it somehow like tied everything together or something. I don't know. So then you find like where to find Jacobo to then tail him. Because you essentially after assassinating all of his co-conspirators, Ezio tails Jacobo to the Templar meeting to attempt to assassinate him. Which it was interesting because, like, I was trying to figure out how to get into the actual facility without getting noticed, which I know there's the mercenaries that were right there. But when I tried to hire them, it was like I realized I jumped the gun because, you know, like every time like he walks by those like couple, they would like wait for a little bit and then they go join him.
Were they mercenaries for you?
Yeah. Did you have
I had thieves
or thieves? Yeah, that's what I meant to say. So I had, like, the thieves, like, distract them. but like I was like, I guess the groups hadn't like coalesced yet or whatever. So when I sent the thieves after some people, it didn't get like all of them. So then when I tried to get in, I still got spotted and I had to fucking restart. But it was only like at a similar checkpoint. But then when I did reload, it had Ezio following him outside, like on the city walls, like following him along the city wall, like up top, which I was like,
that's what I did.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I was just like, well, because like I always like when I tail, I'm following on the rooftops because I'm not going to follow you like from behind. But then I ran out of rooftops. And so I was like,
well, that's what happened to me. Oh. I ran out of rooftops. So I was like, I'm going to go in the wall. There's no one up there.
So I was just like, I'm going to go from bush to bush. I literally was just like, which you can't hide in bushes in this game. No, I literally just like, yeah, mechanic. Exactly. So I was just like going like and actually like standing physically behind the bush.
Well, it's funny because you can hide behind trees. Like they don't, if you stand out of their eyesight behind the trees, they don't see you.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. So I was just like, because I'm like, I don't know where else to go.
Just creeping in the background. I could just.
Yep. Like, who's that fucking dude?
If you follow the wall, they have a nice little pass laid out for you, too. Where you
yeah, which I realized after the checkpoint. I'm like, oh, this is very obviously what you're supposed to do. Okay, cool.
Well, for me, I didn't know where to go when I got to, like, the little round churchy area. So, like, I ended up just jumping over the wall and it activated the mission. So I was like, yay.
Yeah, I, like, jumped into, like, the haystack off the city wall so then I could, like, hire the thieves. And then I sent them to distract, and I just, like, kind of scaled the walls. I almost got spotted anyway, because, again, there's just a bunch of random guards around that area.
Yeah.
And I basically just made a sprint to the checkpoint so it would trigger it.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I just jumped over the two walls that were there. I luckily didn't get spotted. I did hire those fucking idiots, but I couldn't figure out how to use them without getting spotted, because you had to, like, lock on to somebody.
Right.
And they kept, like, detecting me when I was getting too close. So I was just like, fuck it. I just paused it. I just told them to stop here and just ran.
Well, one thing you can do, so you don't have it, it will let you lock on before it like highlights the outline. So what I would do is I would get like semi close and then just hit like the left trigger, because sometimes it won't give you that outline. Usually by the time it gives you that outline, they can spot you, but you can technically do it before.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little subtle with that. So yeah, you don't necessarily have to get that close, because yeah, I would get myself into similar situations. But, yeah, so you go to this, like, Colosseum ruins place outside the city, where you don't get to pull off the assassinations because the Templars do it for you.
Yeah, Maestro's like, you're an idiot, your families are idiots, and I'm gonna kill you now.
Yeah, basically doesn't want to hear his excuses because Jacopo's groveling. He's literally like, because all of his friends are dead. All of his family is dead. He's pretty much the last one alive.
Yeah.
And the other Templars are looking at him like, you fucked up here. And he's like, let me fix it. And he's like, useless. How?
Stabby stab.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they pretty much slaughter him. They stab him multiple times, like, through the neck and everything. He's somehow kicking, though. Somehow
barely.
This, like 80-year-old man.
He's just, like, sitting there whining.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's hilarious because, like, I'm just slaughtering everybody.
Yeah, because like, Maestro's like, well, because the Maestro's like, hey, I knew you were going to be here, assassin, dumbass.
Yeah, exactly. You also get caught and then, you know, are supposed to be executed, but they just do such a fucking shit job. Yeah,
he's like, if you leave now, I'll let you live. And then he's like, ha ha ha, stabby stab. And then they let you live. Well, you let yourself live. But
yeah, exactly. Because you got the hidden blades, so you can just.
Yeah, and then you got to fight our little army.
Meanwhile, he's in the background.
After he just got a neck or fucking sword shoved through his neck, I'm like, there's no way.
Exactly.
That guy's dead.
Exactly. But like, that bro would bleed. He got shanked twice in the gut and then just speared through the head. So yeah, no. That bro was dead.
And my favorite thing is like when you're done, I don't know if it happened for you, but when you're done killing all those people and you go up there to finish the job. It is the most aggressive, like, assassination still. Like, I, like, pounced from, like, 7 feet in the air and just, bow, and, like, shoved my thing down his throat. I'm like, he's dead, bro. We don't gotta be doing that.
Right? But, you know, just wants to make sure
that
he's dead. He was nervous.
I was like, oh my God.
But then still talks to him.
Still talks to him. I was laughing because I was so aggressive. It just goes straight into that cutscene. He's like, ugh, I'm dying.
Yeah. Well, this is how, you know, you have to really just, you know, remember that this is a historically accurate game. You know, like, as the Assassin's Creed Shadows fans point out, this is a historically accurate franchise. So people back in the Renaissance could just take hits like that.
Yeah.
Because this is historically accurate. Let's remember that.
Yeah, you can get stabbed 4 times, twice in the neck, and still talk.
Yeah, none of that pussy liberal health we have today. You're a tank in, exactly. in Renaissance Italy. Just, you know, something to keep track of. And so, yeah, basically, you know, yeah, they try and kill Ezio. Doesn't work. Gets his little thing. And that's the end of the sequence. That's sequence 5. And my computer is literally about to go to sleep, which is weird because it shouldn't do that while it's recording.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, that's about it. And so I'd also wanted to do a little check-in right before I got off because I was doing a lot of like side mission grinding and whatnot. And so I thought it would be funny to kind of give off my stats, which you guys are free to share your stats in the comments as well. Or like I said, over on our Patreon, if you're listening on podcast services.
Yeah.
And so where I'm at, again, this is with, like, I haven't done every single little thing. I'm sure there's a couple things I've missed here and there. I'm not scouring the map. It's simply just anything I come across. I've got 28 out of 73 viewpoints, 19 out of 100 feathers, 4 out of 9 secret locations, because there are 6 crypts, or like 6 seal crypts that you have to do, which is not the 9 that we actually mentioned in the last episode, because there are 3 additional ones on top of that, one of which I've already done, actually, where you explore the Auditore crypt, family crypt, which is a really fun mission, actually. But so I've done 4 out of 9 of those. I've done 2 out of the 5 beat-ups, 3 out of the 6 races, 15 out of the 30 assassinations. That was the majority of my time in the sequence.
God damn.
3 out of 5 courier missions, and 120 out of 330 treasures.
I don't have my stats, because I'm not a nerd.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I'm just kidding, buddy.
I'm more of an assassin than you are, because I have more synchronization. So, take that, nerd. But, yeah. No, I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like I said, I do have a couple qualms that have come up this episode. But they are pretty minor compared to all of the positives.
And for, like, over a decade-year-old game.
Decade and a half.
Decade and a half-year-old game. A couple qualms.
Exactly. It's a game that still holds up incredibly well. I can't, you know, like, I have a smile on my face the majority of the time, as long as I'm not in Tuscany. And it's just like, it is a great time. And I'm so happy that we're now, like, fully opened up to this world. Because, again, this is the first act. This is it. Like, we're now just getting into the second act of this game, where, you know, we've got everything set up. The potsies are done. That the line is over. And so what happens next? What's the next big thing? We're finding out about, you know, further conspirators in the Templar Order. And, you know, this goes beyond the potsies now. But what comes next?
A lot more killing.
A lot more killing. And so we'll get into sequence 6 next week. But remember your trivia question. What's the name of that side mission that you get at the very start of Sequence 5? Let us know however you want to do so.
Yeah, malarkey.
Yeah. So then we've got next week. Remember, next week is also a bonus plus week. And so we've got an exciting bonus plus episode coming up next week as well. So make sure to be a member of the Apprentice tier over on our Patreon to get access to that as well. As, you know, also last month's episode, because those don't just go away.
Yeah, they're still there.
And so, you know, you can watch double the episodes if you haven't. And so, yeah.
They're long ones.
Exactly. There are long ones.
Yeah.
This is a pretty long one. This is close to being, I think by the time we actually wrap this up, this might be our longest episode yet.
Yeah. Good thing I didn't do all those side missions. We'd have been here for 2 hours.
Yeah. But, yeah. Thank you guys for watching, listening, however you consume our content. Again, head over to patreon.com/reasoningpodcast. It's our main communication hub. It's where we, you know, did the main communication about our, you know, little delay from last week not being there. As well as just new information about the podcast, any new little updates we've got to share. So be sure to go over there. It's completely free to be a member. You don't have to pay. That's only, you know, you can then get access to bonus stuff if you are willing to shell out a little bit of your hard-earned dough, which we appreciate, but is not required. It will never be required. This podcast will always be free. We just want to provide some extra stuff for people that are wanting that little extra. And so, yeah, appreciate you guys. Lucas, got any final thoughts you'd like before we continue onward?
No.
All right. Sick. And then, you know, I guess real quick, I'll do a little shameless plug. I don't like doing all this, but I've started, you know, for those watching on YouTube, you might have noticed I've got some other videos, you know, that I've started. I've been trying to do some more YouTube stuff again. You know, I also stream on Twitch twice a week. And so check those out if you haven't. Been coming out with some cool videos, got some ideas, anything you guys want to see. Same goes for like the bonus plus episodes and stuff like that. Anything. This is a community-based thing. We're trying to build something here. So if you've got anything, any suggestions, let us know. You know, we're always down for whatever. And again, appreciate you guys. We will see you guys next week for sequence 6.
Oh, yeah.
Along with our super cool bonus plus episode for our apprentices we've got out there. So, yeah, appreciate you. And remember, nothing is true.
Everything is permitted.
Bye-bye.